Well, I like to begin with something relatable. So here's a question. Don't you wish you could have worked on a fishing boat in 17th century Iceland? Everybody, right? Don't you wish you could have done that? If you had worked on a fishing boat in like the 17th to about the 20th century in Iceland, you would have ended up in Dritvik on Iceland's western coast. That's where the best fishing was. That's where everybody wanted to work. The competition was fierce, so the interview process was painful. Prospective crew members would lift a succession of heavier and heavier stones to prove their strength. The 50-pound stone was just a warm-up, right? And then you moved up to the 120-pound stone. If you could lift that, you would qualify as an oarsman. It's a pretty good gig. The 220-pound stone would gain you the title of half strength. And then there was the ultimate feat, lifting the 340-pound stone to achieve full stricker, which means full strength. Lifting 340-pound stones is painful. And the process of gaining strength is painful, right? We work out, our muscles are torn through micro tears to be built back bigger and stronger. Finish the statement for me. No pain, no right, no pain, no gain. You are totally right. But we are far removed from the conditions and demands of 17th century Icelandic fishing culture. Right, we've turned working the mines into a game. Our sensitive skin needs gentle detergent. Bonus points if you remember his name. Snuggles. Yes, good job. Yeah. Our seats are cooled and our steering wheels are heated. We are creatures of comfort, right? And we consider pain, well, a pain. And today we're wrapping up our sermon series called Faith Over Fear, where we've been looking at some of our most common fears and then discovering God's power over those fears. For our series finale, I commissioned my favorite artist to make a custom logo for us for today. So a big takeaway from this series is that fear freezes while faith frees us, right? Fear freezes us in a place that we think we have control and that we think we have to maintain it. But faith frees us in a place where we can trust God. We can give him the situation and trust him with the outcome, right? Fear freezes us, but faith frees us. And today in our series finale, we're going to look at the fear of pain. The fear of pain. And today we'll see, our prowess of pain comes from Apostle Paul's perspective on pain. That's what we're looking at today, Paul's perspective on pain. Last week, we saw the permutation of Paul from a passionate imprisoning of Christians to a prolific promotion of Jesus as our Savior. I'd like to tell you today's sermon is brought to you by the letter P. As today, we'll see that Paul was proud of the pain God allowed in his life because it made God's power perfect. I told you, the letter P. So if you will stand, I'm going to read God's word for us. This is from 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 and 10. Paul writes, "I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. And that's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong." This is God's word for God's people. May it change us today. Amen. You can be seated. So Paul's unique perspective on pain started with his preview of paradise. A few verses earlier, Paul describes his preview of paradise. He says, "I was caught up to paradise and heard things so astounding they cannot be expressed in words." So the original word in the Bible used as paradise It comes from a Persian word that describes a beautiful and serene garden surrounded by a wall. Because back then, a Persian king would show honor to someone by inviting them to accompany him on a stroll through the garden that was safely enclosed by walls. And Paul tells us that he had an experience with God like this in the perfect paradise. And he experienced that with God in paradise, and then he journeyed from that paradise into the pain of this world. Verse 7, he says, "To keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud." So Paul's perspective was formed by his journey from that paradise to pain. And if we're honest, the human experience, the universal thorn in the flesh, is pain. Right? It's just part of the human experience. It's a result of just being alive. At one point or another, we experience, right, the activities or the foods that we love could eventually cause us pain. The older you get, like, well, I got to eat that for dinner. I can't have that for lunch. Or we're hurt by people we adore. Right? Our bodies that once beckoned at our command become traitors. They abandon pleasure, and then all they provide is pain. Right? Pain is inevitable. It's in the goodie bag you get for just being alive. Pain is going to happen. So today, we're going to look at 6 biblical truths about pain. Before we do that, let's pray. God, thank you, thank you, thank you for this room, for this group of people, for this church body that is alive. Thank you for the sounds of kids in here. Thank you for the trips to the bathroom. Thank you for the coloring pages. Thank you that this place is alive. God, thank you that your Spirit is here and moving and working. And God, we know there's nothing special about this building. Because I'm here when it's empty and it's just an empty building. It is your people, it is your presence, it is your Spirit that is moving, and we ask for more of it and are grateful for you, God. Thank you for your word. Would you use it today to change us? Use me in spite of me. Would Jesus be seen above it all? In his name we pray. Amen. So first, we see that pain is permitted by God. That is our first biblical truth about pain, that pain is permitted by God. Satan sent a messenger to put a thorn in Paul's side, and God permitted it. He allowed it. And that's not the first time we see this, right? Way, way, way back in the Bible, we see that Satan tormented Job, and God allowed it. God permitted Satan to torment Job, and Job responded, "Should we accept only good things from the hand of God and never anything bad?" Is that how you respond when you struggle? I can learn a lot from that one question. Should we accept only good things from the hand of God and never anything back? So Job knew something way back here, right? Something that Paul also knew, and something that is true for us today, and it's this, that God works everything. God causes everything, not some things. God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Even the works of Satan are worked together by God for good. That means we have an enemy. We have an enemy, but his power is restricted by God. Pain is unavoidable, but only to the degree that God will permit. Only what he allows. Next, we see that pain is personal. Second biblical truth that Paul teaches us, pain is personal. Paul says, "To keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh." Paul's pain was personal. Pain is personal, and it has a different cause for all of us. Since it's Father's Day, for the dads, I organized a skydiving trip for this afternoon. I got a Father's Day deal. It's a BYOP. It's a bring your own parachute and bring your own plane. I think all they do is push us out of the plane, but does anybody want to sign up for that? Okay, I got a few. If you're not interested in that, I know us dads want to keep it tight, get in shape, so I got a diet plan. If you're interested, this diet plan I've got, it restricts, it doesn't allow, there's no sugar, no meat, no dairy, no alcohol, no caffeine, and no carbs. No takers on that? Okay, well, who wants to be the first to handle the snake in here? Okay, I'm kidding, there's no snake in here. There's something much worse. It's an alligator. But, so obviously, I'm being silly. Pain goes much deeper, right, than those goofy examples. The point is, pain is personal. Right? It has different causes, different sources for everyone in here because pain is personal. And I think that's why Paul didn't define the thorn in his side. He doesn't tell us what it is. Because we all have a thorn in our side. Something that hurts us or irritates us or distracts us. And I think Paul didn't tell us what it is because he wants this truth to apply to any kind of pain we experience. Because pain is personal. What Paul does tell us about his thorn is this. He says, to keep me from becoming proud. I was given a thorn in my flesh. Pain has a purpose. It's our third truth about pain. Pain has a purpose. Paul says the point of his pain was to prevent him from becoming proud. Pride is not a bad thing. That's the wrong kind of pride, I'm sorry. Pride's not bad. Being proud of an accomplishment or someone you love, on its own, that's not a bad thing. Pride becomes dangerous when it wears away our need for God. Forgot who I was for a second. But Paul's thorn had a purpose. To prevent him from becoming proud and to remain reliant on God. Distraction osteogenesis is a practice that lengthens bones by cutting and separating them, allowing the healing process to fill in the gap. So essentially, healthy bones are broken so they grow back stronger. That is pain with a purpose. And Paul said 3 times, I beg the Lord to take it away. But God had a purpose for the pain. So instead of taking the pain away, God used the pain to change Paul. And he changed him by working through him. Verse 9, God said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So you don't need pain to leave, but you need to be filled with God's grace and power. Because pain is a pathway for God's power. That's our fourth truth about pain, that pain is a pathway for God's power. God's grace and his power are greater than what causes pain. So you do not need less pain, you need more of God's power. Because when we are proud and we rely on ourselves, do you know what that does? It leaves you proud and reliant on yourself. But when we confess our weakness, it converts that pain into a pathway for God's power. This is Whiskers. She's the cat who likes pizza. She came to our house when she was about 4 months old, and she would do this trick where she would get up in a tree or get on our roof and then not come down. She would look deep into my soul and meow and confess her weakness. I don't know if she was confessing her weakness or testing like my willingness and ability to help, or if maybe those are the same thing. But either way, I got pretty quick at scurrying up the ladder and saving more than one of her 9 lives. But confessing weakness allows pain to become a pathway for God's power. And when we do that, when we confess weakness, pain provides proximity to God. Our 5th truth about pain provides proximity to God. Verse 10, Paul says, "That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses. The insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ, for when I am weak, then I am strong." So when we confess our weakness and God works through us, pain provides a closer proximity to God. Right? It's hard, but the valleys and the low points of life, they can draw us closer to God in ways that the mountaintops just cannot do. Right? Christy and I have walked through some seasons of deep sadness. And in those, we did the things, we prayed, we wrestled with God, we talked to our pastor, we sought wise counsel, we went to counselors, we sought therapy, we did all the things. And in God's time, when he brought us to the other side of the valley, there's part of us that missed the closeness to God. There's part of me that when I knew the morning was coming, I knew the sun would come back out, there's part of me that thought, I'm going to miss this. Because when you know you're in the valley, right, when you're in the pit and you know it, you have the freedom to say, I'm obviously not in control. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to rely on him. I'm going to ask him just to get me through the day. So it's hard, and that pain hurts, but the closeness to God it can bring is so sweet. So if you're in the valley right now, I want to tell you 2 things. One, don't miss it. Don't miss how close God is to you. Because if you read the Psalms, it doesn't take long to come across the psalmist saying, I'm surrounded by enemies and God is there. I am a pile of bones, but God is breathing life into me. I'm in the valley, but he walks with me. I'm in the pit, but he gets in and pulls me out. I can barely whisper, but he bends down to hear me. If you are in the valley, God is so close to you. So don't try to do it on your own. Don't miss how close he is to you. Also, if you're in the valley, I want to tell you, it will end. You'll get through it and it will end. We're going to jump to the end of the Bible now, where it tells us that pain is not permanent. Our 6th and final truth about pain is not permanent. Pain is permitted. It is part of the human experience, but it is not permanent. Revelation 21 paints a picture of our future proximity with God, and it says, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. So I'm going to stop, and if you've been coming here for any length of time, you might say, I feel like he reads this verse a lot. You're welcome. This is what we have to look forward to. Okay, I'm going to keep this dangling in front of us till the day I'm not allowed to speak to you anymore. So hear this again. God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. And this future, where pain has passed away, is fulfilled in paradise, in God's presence, in a beautiful and serene garden, enclosed by a wall, and that wall is made of jasper, and the city was pure gold and as clear as glass. Right? Paul was there. He was in that paradise, and then he journeyed to the pain of this life. We are offered a future that takes us from the pain of this life to paradise in God's presence. And the path to paradise is Jesus. Jesus alone is the way to God's presence in paradise. And this is proven. All these promises in the Bible, we see them play out. And this one was played out and shown when Jesus hung on the cross between two criminals. When he was crucified, there was a criminal on each side of him. One mocked him, and the other recognized who he was and asked Jesus to save him. That criminal said, "We deserve to die for our crimes, but this man hasn't done anything wrong." And then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He confessed his mistakes. He trusted Jesus' identity, and he asked for salvation. And Jesus replied, "I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise." And that criminal didn't do anything to earn forgiveness or salvation. His hands were tied. It's a joke. He really couldn't do anything. He was just there. He literally could not do anything except say, "This is God. Would you save me? I need you." And Jesus didn't say, "Well, you need to get down and get your life right. You need to make up for all those things you did. You need to say these prayers." He said, "You see it. And today you'll be with me in paradise." And Jesus offers you paradise today. He doesn't give you a list of things you need to do. He says, "Hey, confess your need. Trust his identity and ask for salvation." And like that criminal had nothing to bring. He had nothing to offer, nothing to give. Maybe you feel like all you have to give is a rap sheet. You have a history you're ashamed of, right? You may have a date coming up. You're going to hear the judge read all the things you have to offer, and that's all you got. But when you accept who Jesus is and tell him you need him and ask for salvation, he promises paradise without pain. No matter who you are or what you've done, he offers paradise to you today. It is your gift to accept. If you haven't done that, it'd be the best Father's Day I'll know to share that with you. Second best, I baptized my daughter on Father's Day recently, but that'd be a second, close second. Okay, that's a lot about pain. Let's put this pain to practice, okay? Which job would you qualify for on the Icelandic fishing boat? 120 pounds, any oarsmen here? I want to hear it. Who has full stroker, full strength? There's a couple hands raised, the two I anticipated. It's your day, gentlemen. We have a 340-pound stone. It's outside. I couldn't carry it in, so we're going to... I'm kidding. Maybe you can only pick up a 3-ounce stone. But you're tired because you never put it down. Lifting those stones is really hard, and they're not meant to be carried around. The pain that you carry is not a burden you are intended to carry alone. If you listen to what Paul said, he said, 3 times I begged God, take this away from me. We should be doing the same. You guys remember how this sermon series started? It was with a question. Do you remember? How do you get to Carnegie Hall? Practice. My favorite street joke, how do you get to Carnegie Hall? Practice. Carnegie Hall is like a place where musicians and artists perform, so you have to practice to get there. Here's the thing, I know that joke, but I used it. I lived in New York a long time ago. I was walking down the street. I saw some tourists who were obviously lost. I said, "Do you guys need help?" And they said, "How do you get to Carnegie Hall?" And I was like, "Are you kidding me?" I looked around. I looked for the hidden cameras. And I said, "This is my opportunity." I said, "I do know how to get to Carnegie Hall. You practice." And then I laughed and laughed and laughed. And then I'm not that mean, so then I actually helped them. But the point is, I know the joke and I used it. Now here's the thing, this sermon series has given us a lot of tools, and now it's time to use them. We have to choose faith over fear. Do not let this sermon series be something you look back on fondly, but make it be something that changes how you live, that you actively choose faith over fear. When you experience pain, use the biblical truth you have to bring that pain to God. Wrestle with Him. Ask Him to take that pain away. Beg Him to reveal Himself, to show Himself, to be present in your pain. Ask Him to change you in the midst of your pain. Because when you are weak, then you are strong. God, thank you that the greatest strength we will ever know, God, is nothing to what you hold in your hands, and it is your grace and your love and your care for us and your power that defeated death, and that now you use for those who trust Jesus to raise us from death to life. Thank you that pain is something that is unavoidable in this life, but you use it to draw us closer to you, to shape us, to form us, to make us who you want us to be. And would you use that for your purpose? God, we don't need an easy life. We need a life that's closer to you. And God, thank you that we get to do that together, that your Spirit leads us, and that as a community, we can follow you together and encourage one another. So help us to do that. I want to invite you guys, as we have this series, if you're willing, just open your hands. You can leave them on your lap or pick them up. And we just do this to show that we are letting go, whatever we've been carrying, whatever pain, whatever fear we have, that we let go of, that we don't need to cling to it. We don't need to carry that stone around. We don't need to hold the reins. We don't need to grip the wheel. We can be open-handed. So God, we confess that to you, that we so badly want control. But we know it's yours. So now we turn our hands over. And we put down before you the things we fear, the things that hurt. We put them down before you. And may this just be a practice that we do every day, maybe throughout the day, just to remember, God, you are good. You are in control. You can be trusted. You and you alone are God. And you have given us the path to you, and that is your Son, Jesus. We thank you, and we love you. We praise you, and it's in Jesus' name. Amen.